Chapter 11. The Test on Miriam. With the spring, the old madness came back to Paul. He did not feel he wanted marriage with Miriam, and yet he wanted to belong to her. It was a powerful need, struggling with a still stronger shyness. He had a great tenderness for Miriam. He could not fail her. Mrs. Morell saw him going back to Miriam and was amazed. He said nothing to his mother. He did not explain or excuse himself. If he came home late and she made a comment, he answered coldly, "I shall come home when I like. I'm old enough." And his mother went to bed, leaving the door unlocked for him. But she lay awake listening until he came, often long after. It was a great bitterness to her that he had gone back to Miriam. That summer, the cherry trees at the farm were heavy with fruit. They stood very tall, hung thick with bright red and dark red drops. Paul and Edgar were gathering the fruit one evening. It had been a hot day, and now the clouds were rolling in the sky, dark and warm. The wind made the whole tree swing with a thrilling movement that excited Paul. He sat unsteadily among the higher branches, feeling slightly drunk with the tree's movement, and tore off handful after handful of the smooth, cool fruit. Cherries touched his ears and neck as he leaned forward. Red-colored fruit glowed under the darkness of the leaves. The sun going down caught the broken clouds. Enormous piles of gold shone out in the southeast. The world, until now grey, was bathed by the golden glow, making trees and grass and far-off water shine. Miriam came out to watch.
"Oh," Paul heard her call. "Isn't it wonderful?"
He looked down. There was a pale light on the soft face turned up to him.
"How high you are," she said.
He threw a handful of cherries at her. She was taken by surprise and was afraid. He laughed and rained more cherries down on her. She ran off to escape them, picking up some cherries on the way. She hung two fine pears over her ears, then looked up again.
"Haven't you got enough?"
she asked.
"Nearly. It's like being on a ship up here." "How long will you stay?"
"Till the sunset ends." She watched the gold clouds turn to orange, then rose, then reddish purple, until the passion went out of the sky. Paul climbed down with his basket.
"They're lovely,"
said Miriam, feeling the cherries. "I've torn my sleeve," said Paul. It was near the shoulder. She put her fingers through the tear.
"How warm," she said.
He laughed. There was a strange new sound in his voice. "Shall we walk a little way?" he said. They went down the fields as far as a thick wood.
"Shall we go in among the trees?"
he asked.
"Do you want to?"
"Yes." It was very dark in the wood. She was afraid. Paul was silent and strange. He seemed hardly conscious of her as a person. To him, she was only a woman. He stood against a tree and took her in his arms. She gave herself to him, but as a victim, feeling some sort of horror. This thick-voiced man was a stranger to her. Later, it began to rain. Paul lay with his head on the ground, listening to the sharp sound of the raindrops. His heart was heavy. He realized that she had not been with him, that her soul had stood back. His body felt calmer, but that was all. She put her hands over him to feel if he was getting wet.
We must go, said Miriam.
Yes, said Paul, but did not move.
The rain is coming in on us, said Miriam.
He rose and helped her up. They walked hand in hand. In a while, they went indoors. They made love a number of times after this. Afterwards, Paul always had the feeling of failure and death. You don't really want me when I come to you, said Paul gloomily after a week or two.
No, don't say so,
she said, taking his head in her arms.
Don't I want your children?
Shall we get married then? Said Paul.
We're too young,
she said after a pause.
Not yet.
With Paul, the sense of failure grew stronger. At first, it was only a sadness. Then he began to feel he could not go on. He wanted to run, go abroad, anything. Gradually, he stopped asking her to have him. He realized consciously that it was no good. He told his mother that he would break off with Miriam. On Sunday, he went up to the farm in the early afternoon. Miriam met him at the end of the farm road. She was wearing a new dress with short sleeves. She had made herself look so beautiful and fresh for him. They sat down. He lay with his head on her breast while she stroked his hair. She knew that he was somehow absent. I've been thinking, he said finally. We ought to break it off.
What?
She cried in surprise. Because it's no good going on. I want us to break off. You to be free of me, I free of you.
How many times have you offered to marry me and I wasn't willing?
I know. But I want us to break off.
You're a child of four, she said in her anger. And what can I tell my mother?
She asked. I told my mother that I was breaking it off. Cleanly and completely, he said.
I shan't tell them at home, she said. It's always been the same. One long battle between us. You fighting me off.
Not always. Not at first, he argued.
Always, from the very beginning. Always the same.
He sat in silence. His heart was hard against her. He left her at the road end. As she went home alone, in her new dress, having to face her family at the other end, he stood without moving on the high road, filled with pain and shame.